United States of America versus Abian, Olor, and Lafidi.
Good morning, Judge.
How are you doing with pronunciation?
Abian, Olor, and Femi.
You did pretty good, I thought.
Judge Coffey, Judge Bauer, and Judge Mannion, good morning. Mr. Olor and Femi is being held responsible for conduct in one instance that was not reasonably foreseeable to him, and in the second instance, he's been attributed a leadership role which the facts of the case do not support. With regard to the first issue, Mr. Olor and Femi was involved with Mr. Mumuni Apuyan, who was the leader of a conspiracy in this case, and Mr. Olor and Femi has been attributed with loss amounts that resulted from a trip in which he was not involved, which he did not plan, and which he did not participate in. And for that reason, that amount of the loss was not reasonably foreseeable to him and should not be attributed to him under the guidelines.
Are these credit card fraud losses?
Yes, they are. They're credit card fraud losses and bank fraud losses. That occurred in Phoenix, Arizona, and this was arranged by Mr. Apuyan and his associates in California, Mr. Bodine and Mr. Balogun. They also had two young women accompanying them, but Mr. Olor and Femi was involved only with Mr. Apuyan's activities in Chicago and also with a trip to Florida where his family members lived. He did not participate or accompany the other members of the conspiracy on the trip to Arizona, was not involved in planning that trip, and was not reasonably foreseeable to him what they were going to be doing when they went into Arizona. He was not on speaking terms with Mr. Apuyan at that time and did not travel with the group. And so for that reason,
did you provide any of them with false identification?
He had helped.
Counterfeit credit cards?
He had helped Ms. Johnson.
Ms. Johnson.
Right. With that. And those credit cards she used in Chicago, she also used when she went to Arizona.
Well, doesn't that make him a participant?
No, Your Honor, it's our contention that it does not. Because
On what theory is that?
Because he was not involved with the planning of this trip and was not involved in the participation.
But he gave her the cards that she could use and
he helped her obtain the cards along with Mr. Apuyan, who was responsible for the trip and directed the trip.
What did he think she was going to use those cards for? Halloween party?
He was involved with her, Your Honor, in Chicago, in the activities of Chicago, and that's where his activities.
And he had no reason to believe that she might do it someplace else?
No, he did not.
I see, okay. That's a good theory.
And so for that reason, Your Honor, we would ask that Mr. Olor and Femi not be held responsible because he was not a participant in that aspect of the conspiracy. There were actually two groups of people at work here, and Mr. Olor and Femi did not have active involvement with or knowledge of Mr. Bodine and Mr. Balogun, who were from California and who were involved in this conspiracy by Mr. Apuyan. He met them when they came to Chicago, but he was not involved in their activities on the West Coast. And Mr. Bodine, the friend of Mr. Apuyan, was the source of credit cards to Mr. Apuyan, which he then distributed to Mr. Olor and Femi. But Mr. Olor and Femi was not involved with those.
Did he ever have any checkings or savings accounts of the Phoenix branch of Bank One?
Ms. Johnson? Yes, she did.
Phoenix, Arizona?
That's exactly right, Your Honor.
Well, but she participated, didn't she?
She did, but Mr. Olor and Femi did not.
But that was one of his delegates.
He introduced her to Mr. Apuyan, and she was involved with Mr. Apuyan, Mr. Bodine, and Mr. Balogun on this trip, and Mr. Olor and Femi was not involved with this trip and did not profit from it. The second issue before the court has to do with Mr. Olor and Femi's role in the offense. He was tagged along with Mr. Apuyan as a leader, and the court gave him a 4-point enhancement for his leadership role. However, under Lustre and under the guidelines, there's a 7-part analysis looking at whether a person's participation amounts to a leadership or a leader organizer role. The court in this case looked only at the fact that he brought Ms. Johnson into the case by introducing her to Mr. Apulian, and did not go through the rest of the factors that are considered when determining when someone has a leadership role. He did not, Mr. Olorunsemi had no exercise of decision-making authority. The credit cards did not come from him, they came from Mr. Bodine. He learned what he knew from Mr. Apulian, and Mr. Olorunsemi referred to Ms. Johnson, as she points out in her grand jury statement, as his boss. Mr. Apulian, well, it's true that a conspiracy can have more than one leader. There has to be some basis for tagging Mr. Olorunsemi with this role. He did not exercise any authority over anyone else. He was present, certainly, much of the time with Mr. Apulian. They were friends as well as associates, but he didn't claim a larger share of the profits of this. He didn't even participate in all of the activities of the group. He didn't involve, he wasn't involved with recruiting Bodine or Balligan or West. And in fact, Johnson brought another young woman into the organization, which he also wasn't involved with. And he didn't have any control or authority over anyone. He didn't control Ms. Johnson. In fact, Ms. Johnson maintained her association and did separate activities with Mr. Apulian by holding money for him personally in her bank account, by traveling with him, and by going to Arizona with him. So Dean and Balligan were not known to him before he was introduced by Mr. Apulian, and Ms. West became involved in the conspiracy through Mr. Bodine, who was part of the West Coast aspect of this group. So while it's true that Mr. Olorunsemi was present, certainly in Chicago with Mr. Apulian, he did not have the same sort of leadership role that Mr. Apulian had. And this is further demonstrated by the fact that both residences, Mr. Olorunsemi's and Mr. Apulian's, were searched at the time of their arrest. And all of the materials, the computers, the lists, and the other information were found under the control of Mr. Apulian. What was found with Mr. Olorunsemi were the results of his shopping trips and his use of the credit cards, but certainly none of the instrumentalities of the offense that was charged. I see that I'm running into my rebuttal time. I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, ma'am.
Please the court, Marcus Funk on behalf of the United States. The defendant argues that Judge Grady clearly erred in holding him responsible for a portion of some $39,000 worth of losses that were caused in Phoenix, Arizona. The district court adopted the PSR in this case, and the facts in the PSR are undisputed, as distinguished from the defense counsel's arguments and sentencing. The facts are, the undisputed facts are, that the defendant, on the order of Olorunsemi, recruited co-defendant Cassie Johnson in the summer of 2000. The defendant explained at that time to Johnson how this scheme was going to work. He explained that he had been involved in bank fraud and credit card fraud for 2 to 3 years, and that the scheme was going to work by having her and other associates of theirs open up bank accounts under assumed and false identities, and then withdraw funds that would be wired in by their criminal associates. At that time, this is before Cassie Johnson ever met any of the other co-conspirators, Abiodun Olorunsemi supplied Ms. Johnson with a Beth Allen counterfeit identification. He took her to the passport photo shop. He gave her Beth Allen identification cards, also Beth Allen ID from California, as well as 3 credit cards. This is all the defendant's work. This was the summer of 2000. We move forward a few months to October of 2000 when Cassie Johnson, in fact, does fly to Phoenix, Arizona, using the Beth Allen identity supplied to her by the defendant, obtains an Arizona identification using the false Beth Allen ID, and then opens up bank accounts at Bank One and Wells Fargo, into which the $39,000 are transferred and from which the access cards and devices are going to be used to withdraw the funds. Now, while in Arizona, Ms. Johnson is informed by Apulian that she is to turn over any funds that she obtains to both Mr. Apulian and to the defendant. And the defendant, at the same time, in October 2000, opened fraudulent bank accounts at Bank One in Chicago. So we have both sides of the operation in full force, going along exactly as Mr. Pruyan, or I'm sorry, Mr. Olufemi, the defendant in this case, had explained to Ms. Johnson that they would. Now, in January of 2001, Ms. Johnson was given 2,000 identifications, identities, I should say, from a blood bank in Chicago, and she's given those identities by both Olufemi, the defendant, and by a Pruyan, and she's told to hold these accounts, and both defendants alternatively access these identities and use them for fraud. And then in February of 2001, the defendant in fact opens up another bank account here at Bank One. And finally, in March of 2001, the defendant is on tape, discussing the fraudulent Phoenix Bank One accounts. And in a sense, the capstone of the government's argument in this case is that the defendant himself, in his plea agreement, admitted, and I quote, that he opened bank accounts using false identities, had other people use false identities to open up bank accounts for him, quote, at various financial institutions, including at Phoenix and Chicago branches of Bank One. So the argument that the district court clearly erred in holding him responsible for the losses that occurred at the Phoenix branches of Bank One is simply a weak argument at best. Moving on to the forward upward adjustment that the district court granted in this case that he granted with regard to the legal organizer role. The district judge, Judge Grady, called the defendant and the Pruyan ringleaders of this operation, and that is exactly what they were. At the time that Mr. Olufemi was sentenced in this case, the district judge had the benefit of having seen every one of the other co-defendants come before him. The district judge had a very good understanding of who the individuals were in this case and who had what position. There were a number of unidentified co-conspirators, people who wired in funds, people who obtained credit cards, physical credit cards, not credit card numbers, people who prepared identification. In this case, the defendant admitted that he and Pruyan created counterfeit credit card numbers using a computer program known as Credit Master. They obtained lists, generated lists of counterfeit credit card numbers that they then used for themselves and for others to engage in a worldwide credit card fraud conspiracy that ultimately led to the millions of dollars in losses. In fact, the defendant admitted that he created and generated counterfeit credit cards. And then he admitted that he shared this information with other individuals. It's undisputed that he recruited Johnson. That is undisputed. That he instructed on how to execute the fraud schemes, that he obtained the fraudulent identities, that he gave some 2,000 identities to Johnson to hold, and that he instructed Johnson on what her part in this scheme would be. Now, the defendant used the money that he obtained from this very, very expensive fraud scheme to fund an extravagant lifestyle, which further goes to show his involvement and his role in this offense. He had $500 hotel rooms at the Bellagio and at the Venetian in Las Vegas. He went on shopping sprees. He had $800 dinners at the Cheesecake Factory. This is a man who is an illegal alien who claimed to work at a grocery store. That
$800 dinner meal?
$800 meal, Your Honor.
Good meal.
And he drove a $30,000 plus brand new Navigator.
Your
Honor, that is not in the record, so I can't really comment on that. I would hope it lasted quite a while. He had numerous box computers in his bag when he was ultimately arrested, and he bragged on the tapes, bragged to Johnson that he sent over 1,200 laptops to Africa. These are laptops he obtained through fraud. And so when the district judge, in this case, found that Mr. Olufemi had a leader-organizer role in this case, that was entirely supported by all of the evidence in this case. And for these reasons, the United States would respectfully request that this court affirm the ruling from the district court.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
2 minutes, ma'am.
What goes into an $800 meal, do you know?
That's a slight exaggeration, Your Honor.
$2,700?
How's my business? 50 cents?
But I believe that was a group dinner, and it was paid for by all of them. An extravagant lifestyle is not a part of the consideration for whether someone had a leadership role.
Well, I assume he had to do something with the money, so I don't know.
And I might also add that the vehicle that he possessed was not paid for with cash. It was bought on a payment plan. It was purchased along with his wife, who was fully employed with AT&T at the time. So it's also an exaggeration to say that this was a part or demonstrated a part of his share of any proceeds in this scheme. It also was heavily disputed that Mr. Olorunsemi was responsible for the list of names that was provided, and that list of names was not found in his possession. It was found in Mr. Apulian's possession, and that oftentimes these statements were made with Apulian and Olorunsemi lumped together without providing any basis for the fact that Olorunsemi had any separate or other identity than Mr. Apulian's sidekick. Mr. Olorunsemi did not exercise control or authority over what was to be done. He followed his instructions from Mr. Apulian. Ms. Johnson even reported that in her grand jury statement that Mr. Apulian was Mr. Olorunsemi's boss, and not that Mr. Olorunsemi was her boss or that he was in direct control or exercised any decision-making authority with respect to her. So we would assert that the court's assessment of four-level leadership role enhancement was not appropriate for Mr. Olorunsemi, although it may have been for Mr. Apulian, and we would ask this court to reverse the district court's decision.
Thank you, Connie. Thank you, Counsel.